I want to say this. Thus far, I think that I have educated most of you as to what the Lord had laid on my heart many, many weeks ago, to be a student of the Word. And I note that a lot of you have been writing down the Scriptures. And more so, I've noticed a lot of you have been going home and reading those Scriptures. You're revisiting the information. The reason I know that, I'm seeing growth. I'm seeing the potential of growth that is going on and being established in your heart. But now, today, we're going to go to a higher level. Because what happens is, we seem to come into the church, and we have waiting for the musicians to play and sing the songs, and that's the beginning and the end of praise. But God laid it on my heart that praise is fundamentally the very first thing you should ever, ever know about what to do as a born-again believer. The Word of God says, send Judah first, which means Judah means praise. You need to learn to praise the Lord. Amen? So before I get going, I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to shake off the old drudgery of whatever you came in here with. I want you to get rid of the intimidation or the inhibition or the shyness. And I want you to literally raise your hands, and I want you to praise the Lord. I want you to sing a new song unto Him. Christ wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear your words. The Word of God says in Hebrews 13:15, it says, let us offer unto God the sacrifice of praise. In other words, why is it called a sacrifice? Your flesh doesn't want to do it. Your mind doesn't want to do it, but your spirit is saying, yes, I want to praise you, Lord. And it's called the fruit of your lips. In other words, He wants to hear your words. You can love God quietly, revere Him quietly, serve Him quietly, adore Him quietly, but He demands you do not praise me quietly. I want to hear your voice. So we need to praise Him, church, because not the greatest preaching, not the greatest teaching is going to do for you what God intends for you this day. Let's praise Him, church. Let's praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we praise You. We adore You. We thank You, Lord. You need to shout it out. Shout your praises out to Him. Get used to it, because we're going to do this every Sunday. We're going to take it to a higher dimension. We are going to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord God. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father God. Thank You for what You have done. Thank You for what You are doing. Thank You for what You're about to do. We thank You and we praise You, Lord God. Many of you have had total change in your life already. God has taken you out of the mire, out of the chaos, out of the corruption, out of the problems, and He has brought you already into a wonderful brand new day. Some of you, you're about to be brought there, but I want you to know, it's not going to happen unless you praise the Lord, unless you understand what it truly means to praise and honor and worship Him. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. We thank You, Lord. We praise You. We thank You. We praise You, Father God. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for what You are doing. Thank You, Jesus, for Your healing virtue, Your healing power. Thank You, Father God, for bringing marriages back together. Thank You for bringing those that are broken and hurting, that You have brought resolve into their life, Father God. Thank You, Lord God, that You have brought healing. Your healing virtue is flowing. And Father, we know that, Lord God, that You inhabit the praises of Your people. So, Father, as we praise You, We welcome you into our midst here this day. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let me tell you, some of you have don't have quite an understanding of what it truly means to praise and worship. The Bible talks about reckless abandonment. You have to be recklessly abandoning your own culture within. And you have to learn to praise and worship the Lord. And I'm going to show you why it's so important that you praise and worship God. Amen. We are looking at the gifts of the Spirit down the stairs. We're finished with it. I have given as much education as I could properly formally give on the gifts of the Spirit, preparing people. And last week, again, the Lord said, I don't want you to have that service yet because I want to have a time where they're going to be set free from addictions. If you have an addictive or you have a stronghold, it's called, the Bible calls addiction strongholds. If you have a stronghold, you are going to be impaired. You are not going to have the Holy Spirit come upon you. You are not going to be baptized in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so that's what the Lord laid on my heart. He started to bring healing. And I don't know how many others have been already healed. But this morning, I want you to go to the higher level, a higher level where you have to realize we need to learn to praise and worship. And God laid this on my heart as I was teaching last week, that there is an atmosphere that is developed by our praise and by our worship. It doesn't happen just because you come in and you start with the music and we all clap and we all sing and we all sing out of tune, whatever. That's not praise and worship. Praise and worship is the epitome of your life. You have to be absolutely, totally surrendered to Christ. But it starts in your home. It starts in your life. The Word of God tells us that Job, after he lost all of his family, all of his children, he lost all of his wealth, all of his health, even the relationship with his wife, what did he do? He got prostrate before God. He leveled out before God, and he began to worship him. It was a reflex habit. When you come into the house of God, many people come in, and there are people at the altar praying and waiting and praising the Lord, and they come in and they start talking. Well, we have such a small church that a little bit of conversation far outweighs the conversation that's going before God. You should be coming in with already a reflex habit of praising Him. No one should be up here rallying you, and I understand today I need to teach you on that, but I want you to know, when we praise the Lord, it opens up a wonderful divine atmosphere for God to arise on the scene of our praise. And when God comes in, that's when you are going to find that miracles are going to break loose and the power of God is going to so sensationally concentrate our presence. And whatever you came into the house of God with, whatever burden, it will flee from you. Amen? It is going to flee from you. But I want you to know that religion has brought the cumbersomeness on people. Religion teaches us that God is only going to do a certain something a certain way, and He's not going to do anything else other than what we think He's going to do. Matter of fact, religion teaches us to systematically take God, put Him in a box, put Him on a shelf, call upon Him only when we feel that we need Him. But that's not God's best for you. When you begin to walk in the Spirit, by praising and worshiping Him and allowing for His Spirit to come upon you, that is when you are going to find that God has so much more up His sleeve you knew nothing about. Amen? And I've come to see something and learn something with God, that God loves it when we get into Him. There's something beautiful about getting into God. I know that the Word of God says about God being in us, but if you remember what we looked at last week, John chapter 8, where we have a way of getting into God. When you get into God and God is in you, there is an ongoing communication. When you are able to get into God, you are going to find it's exciting because there's a vast amount of heavenly riches and mysteries that have been hidden in God that God has yet to unleash upon the earth. But once God begins to do it, He will not do it until He reveals what He's going to do to you. If you are praising and worshiping Him. And once you understand what God is about to do, when God does do what He says He's going to do, you will not be on the tail end of God, of what God does. You are going to be on the cutting edge with God. You are going to be right there being the man, the woman of God that God has called for this hour. You are going to be the ambassador that God has called you to become. And you are going to move forward hand in hand with God, which means that whatever God says he's going to do, you become the voice of God on the earth. You begin to speak what you have heard. And when you begin to speak what God says he's going to do and he shares it with you, you open up your mouth and you begin to talk about it. That's when you're going to see blind eyes open, deaf ears open. The lame are going to walk. The mute are going to speak. The deaf are going to hear. The dumb are going to be sane again. You are going to find even the dead will come back to life again. That was God's ultimate desire for his church. That's his ultimate desire for his church. And Satan doesn't want that. Ultimately, Satan wants you dead. And if he can't kill you physically, he will kill you spiritually. And it breaks my heart to say it over the many years of ministry out there as well as in here. I have witnessed a lot of people that come in and they have a form of godliness, but they have denied the power thereof. They're going through religious motions. They go to sleep sometimes when the word is being preached because all they have is a religious understanding of God. They don't have an intimate understanding of him. And you can tell it by their language because when a problem arises, when a circumstance arises, when a situation is bringing them down, instead of them praising and worshiping and loving on God the way that they should and holding up the word, that the way that they should be holding on to the word of God, they're crying out and they're saying, Jesus, get me out of here. They're looking at Armageddon. They want Jesus Christ to come back and lift them up because I can't take it no more. Armageddon, Armageddon, Armageddon out of here. Armageddon out of here. That's their conversation. Just a little funny joke. They don't want to fight the good fight of faith, but I want you to know something. In order for you to receive the miracle that you've been waiting for, in order for you to receive the turnaround of things happening in your life that you've been waiting for, you got to fight. You got to put on the full armor of God. You got to stand your ground, resist the devil, and then he will flee from you. Amen? The word of God says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, it says that the kingdom of God is being taken by force, by forceful men and women who lay hold to it. The kingdom of God, which means the power of God, the authority of God, the anointing of God, is being taken by force. Remember what I told you about kingdom. It's a Greek word, which actually is the word basileus. It means the dominion of God, the dominion that Christ, that God himself had given to Adam and Eve that was lost by Satan. That same dominion has now been reintroduced to humanity. Jesus Christ came and said, all authority. That word authority is also the word basileus. That all authority that has been given unto me, I give it unto you. So in order for you to receive the authority of the kingdom of God, you have to fight the good fight of faith. And you have to fight with the force of heaven above. The kingdom of God is being taken by force, by forceful men and women who lay hold to it. It's time that you have the understanding, just by simply praising and worshiping, that you have that kind of genuine interloping relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's at that point you are going to be able to take back everything that the enemy has stolen from you. It's time that we take back our children, time that we take back our grandchildren. It's time that we take back our health, our wealth, the things that Satan has stolen from us. It's time for you to recognize that God wants you to stand your ground, stand firm, because he's about to give it all back to you in this final hour. Can you say amen? I hope you understood all that. I'm not saying it again. But here we go. Let's go, turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. And I want to show you a few things. And I want to show you why you are here today. How did you get here today? What is it, the reason why you have become a born-again believer as opposed to that of living out there in the world? Here it is. It says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, we start out and it says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the question a lot of people ask is, well, wait a minute. what is Satan and his demonic few? He had gained one third of God's angels, won them over. What is Satan and the angels that came with him? What are they doing in heaven? What are they doing in heaven? Well, I think that there needs to be an answer to that. The Bible tells us, Paul the Apostle says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, that he had been privileged to witness heaven above. And he lets us know that there are three types of heavens. The first heaven is the heaven that we see. It's our universe. It's our stratosphere. It is the galaxies that make up what we know as our universe. Mankind has put spaceships up. They want to see about the planets. They haven't even approached the furthest distant planet yet. They're just coming into finding there are other planets in our galaxies. That's how vast our heaven is. Now, above the outstretch, beyond our heaven, is another heaven. It's the heaven called the heavenly dimension. That is where Satan and all of his culprits are dwelling at. We sometimes think, well, Satan is under my feet. No, he's not. He's in the element of the second heaven. And then above that heaven, the furthest heaven, is where God's domain is at. It's where God's throne is at. It's where God speaks to humanity. And when God speaks to humanity, he speaks and his words are pure. They are unadulterated. They are absolutely perfect, if you will. They are undefiled. And when God speaks from his throne to speak into the heart of a human being, God speaks in the form of a mystery. Everybody say a mystery. A mystery is a hidden secret. Why is God speaking in hidden secrets? Because he does not want Satan to know what it is that he's saying to you, the human being that he's speaking to. Amen? And as that word is spoken out of his mouth, it comes in the form of a mystery. And if you are in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, which is praising and worshiping him and developing an ongoing continuity of a relationship with Christ, then one day that mystery is going to come and it's going to be imparted into your soul, into your spirit, and it will become a revelation. A revelation is a mystery revealed. A mystery revealed. But between God speaking it in the form of a mystery and it coming to you in the form of a revelation, you are going to find that it has to go through that second channel of the heavenly dimension where there are powers, rulers, principalities, and spirits of witchcraft in the heavenly places that are fighting against that word day and night. They do not want that word that came out of the mouth of God to register within your heart. And they're going to try everything and anything they can to stop that word. Why? Because Satan knows that if by chance that word gets to your heart, if you understand the revelation of what God has said to you, you are going to be divinely transformed. And you are going to have an outward form of godliness far beyond anything you could imagine. Not only will you have an outward form of godliness, you will have an inward form of godliness, and you will begin to change, and you will begin to do things you've never done before. You will begin to walk supernaturally, talk supernaturally, think supernaturally, act supernaturally, speak supernaturally. You will have a supernatural envelopment about your life. Can somebody give the Lord a shout of praise? So the reason for the battle is because God is speaking, trying to get a hold of a person's heart. And the person he wants to speak to is only going to be the one that is praising him and worshiping him and not play acting with him. When you are praising him and worshiping him, then all of a sudden the mystery that came out of his mouth will come and will assemble upon your heart. You just have to wait on it. And it's going to divinely transform you. Amen? You might say, well, wait a minute. What is this war going on in heaven? I thought God won. I thought we win already and God has already won. Well, you have to understand the reason for the war is because God is constantly speaking. He's speaking because he wants to give truth to the church so that the church will become more knowledgeable, more powerful, and more supernatural. That's why there is this battle that's going on. A lot of people say, no, wait a minute. I'm confused by that because I thought that everything that God was going to say, he already said it. It's in the Bible. Right? Everything God was ever going to say, it's right there, contained between Genesis 1 and Revelation 22. We don't have to worry about anything more to be said. There's no truth to that. The Word of God tells us in John chapter 16, verse 12, there you come to find when Jesus was on the earth, he said to his disciples, I have much more to say unto you. But for now, you cannot bear it. You cannot bestutzo it, is the Greek word there. Here's what he's saying there. He said, Jesus said to his disciples, for now, I have much more to say unto you. That word there, Y-O-U, he wasn't speaking to them. Because that word, you, he's talking about all those who are coming behind him that he will have to go and he will speak to them and he will give them what they need to have victory. But he turned and he said, now let me back that up a little bit. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, he said, I have many other sheep in other sheep pen. He was talking about all those that would come one day, thousands of years later, that he knew that he had to go to, right? Now he goes to his disciples and he says, I have much more to say unto you. He's talking about humanity. But for now, you cannot bear it. You. Now he's talking to them. It's of no relevance to you. That's why he said, you cannot bear. The word bistazzo in bear, it means it is of no relevance to you. Why did he say that? Because Jesus spoke to those disciples. When he gave them his word, he put an anointing on his word that would be relevant for them to have victory over the powers of darkness in their day. The reason I say that is because Satan knows that his time is short. Therefore, it says in Revelation 12, he's very furious. So the demons that the apostles had to deal with were nothing compared to the demons you and I are dealing with. I mean, you can look around and you can see how vile and putrid and evil society and the world has become today. Amen? I think if my mother and father, who have been gone now for about 20, 30 years, if they came back to life, they would be absurd by the fact of what they're seeing, of how everything is good is turned to evil. Evil is called good and good is called evil. And there's so much stuff that's going on in the world. Because Satan is on the warpath. He knows that his time is short. So what Jesus did, he spoke to each and every generation. And as he speaks to each and every generation, he gives us more clout, more power, and more authority so as to be able to overcome the principalities, even in our day, that we are facing. Amen? That's why Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen? Because it's not because of you. It's not by might nor by power. It's by his spirit. It's by God's word that you can have prevalence and you can have overcoming power. But again, church, it all comes down to foundation. It's all going to be how much of a praiser, how much of a worshiper are you? Do you have a reflex habit of praising God that he can speak to you? Because if he finds that your heart is ripe before him, then the mystery that comes out of his mouth is going to come. Doesn't matter how long it has to go through a battle. I want you to know it will come into your heart if you are in the right place at the right time, doing what God intends, and you will receive the divine revelation that God has desired to give to you. Look at Revelation 12. Again, verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon, Satan, was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That's good news, right? Verse 10 says, Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven. I want you to catch the scenario here. There's a war that breaks out in heaven. The angelic hosts, the angels of God, fight Satan and all of his demon followers. and they did not prevail. They did not win. And they were cast out of heaven, brought to the earth. And when that took place, there became a loud voice. Not a pipsqueak, well, it's over. No, it was a loud voice. It was a victory voice. It was a voice of victory that says, now, look at verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now, as a result of the victory that was obtained in heaven, from that point, Jesus is about to unfold four things that begin to happen in a human's life. Here they are. Now, everybody say now. Now means from this moment forward. Now salvation. Now strength. Now the kingdom of our God. Now the power of His Christ has arrived. Say amen. Now listen, you probably think, well, I thought the power of Christ arrived 2,000 years ago. No. Every time Satan has his claws in a human's life, and when you come to find that there is a battle in the heavens and Satan has to remove his claws because the angels of God have defeated him, now salvation, now strength, now the kingdom of our God, and now the power of his Christ have arrived. Have arrived. Now, that probably doesn't make a lot of sense to you, but I'm going to bring it home now. I'm going to show you how intimate this is to you. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. It says here, you once walked according to the course of this world. And I'm going to stop there. There's some people that need to stop walking that way. Are you hearing me? It's not a matter that we see it and we read it about it. We read about it historically. Paul's talking to a church that had walked away from old behavior. I'm talking to you that are still messing around in the world. It's time that you stop walking according to the root of satanic information. Amen? This is a hard sermon, but you're going to find that this is a prophetic sermon. Now I'm excited because that's my call. I'm going to give you a prophetic message here this morning. I don't normally do that. I'm always tied and hog-tied by God. I have to give you a teaching. I have to give you a preaching. Not today. I'm going to give it to you right between the eyes, okay? And so we come to find that it says here, you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Before you were saved, before I was saved, we walked according to the drumbeat of Satan. He hogtied me. He hogtied you. He blinded my mind. He blinded your mind. And we were running, and we were running with everything we had to go down that large, vast road that led to hell. That's where he was taking us. And I want to stop and I want to say something to you. There's no such thing as freedom. We all say, oh, I got freedom now. I'm a born-again believer. I got freedom. Let me tell you something. You are either hogtied by Satan, okay? You are either a servant of Satan, and if you accept Jesus Christ, then you become a slave to Christ. That's what Paul said. He said, I, Paul, the bondservant or the bondslave of Christ. In other words, a bondslave was the highest form of slavery. It's where you would never, ever break loose from your manager, the owner. So we are either slaves to sin or slaves to Christ. There's no in between, okay? But there was a time where you walked down that road. You were doing everything and you didn't even know. You were drinking. I put myself there too. You were drinking. You were enslaved to this, that, and the other thing, whatever you could think of. There it is. And you could think whatever you could think of, it would come. I loved going to the bars. I loved my perversion. I loved all my addictions. I loved them. I didn't go home and say, man, I got to go out tonight. No, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Sin is enjoyable only for a season. Only for a season. But what happened? What happened to you? Why are you here this morning? Because God turned around and he had a child or maybe a group of children that were already sold out to him. And he wanted them to begin to pray on your behalf. And their prayers went up into heaven about in regards to your life. And those prayers strengthened the hands of the angels of God. And because of that, the angels of God started to beat up on Satan and all of his evil dignitaries. And because of that, their claws were removed from you. And when their claws were removed from you, then all of a sudden, now salvation came to you. Now strength. In other words, now you had the privilege to have the full armor of God on. And you had the ability to understand the word of God that you didn't understand before. You could lift it up as a sword. Now, the kingdom of our God. You have authority. You have divine authority. That whatever you need, you can just stand your ground. Satan sees the seal of redemption upon your forehead. He cannot overtake you any longer. And now the power of our Christ has arrived to us. The power of our Christ means that you can ask whatever you want to ask of the Father in the name of Jesus, because you can use his name as power of attorney. That's why it's not by you nor by your might. It's by his Spirit. You can call out to the Father and say, Jesus, I need help. And if you are a prayer warrior and you are praying and praising and worshiping, the Father will bring a word that comes through the heavens. It is a mystery. It'll come into your heart. And when it comes into your heart, it's going to change the outline of your life. Amen. And when that happens, Revelation 12:2, you will find now salvation, now strength, now the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. How is this all made possible? Verse 10. Because the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Where did they come to? To the earth. Amen. And it goes on and it says in verse 11, and those who are now upon the earth, they will overcome the satanic group that is on the earth. How? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Everyone say the word of their testimony. For they love not even their lives unto death. In other words, those who are prayer warriors, those that God may have laid somebody on your heart, you start praying. I want you to identify with me here. You begin to pray for somebody else. And you're praying earnestly for a child, for a grandchild, for one of your own children, or a co-worker. Whoever God has laid on your heart, you begin to pray for that person. As you are praying for that person, then you begin to see that there is a change. Now you know that your prayers have been answered. Your prayers have strengthened the hands of the angels of God. They have overcome Satan. He has had to release that person you've been praying for. And you see that they're going to church. You see that everything's wonderful in their life. There's a change in their entire makeup. But I want you to understand, Satan is going to come right to the source of the power source. If you were the prayer warrior on the earth, Satan is going to come and he's going to try to pulverize you. But you can overcome him as he comes, because he can't touch you. You can overcome him by the blood of the Lamb that is adorned upon you. By the word of your testimony you dare not let go of. For you not even love your life unto death. You don't care what he tries to do, because you know that you know that you know. You are protected by Almighty God. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. And I want you to realize that when that word comes to you, when that word gets into your heart, you are going to be divinely transformed. When the mystery that comes out of the mouth of the Father comes to you, if you are a person that's praising on your own, it's a reflex habit, I want you to realize that word is going to come as into the target of your spirit. And that word is now going to be unfolded like an egg, and you are going to hear the revelation of what God has intended for you. And that word is going to divinely transform you. Transformation is the most exciting thing you will ever deal with on the earth, you will ever be able to experience on the earth. Transformation actually means that your realm of authority has been broadened. In other words, God is going to then give you such an anointing that wherever you go, whoever you speak to, you are going to find people are going to listen. They're not going to mock you anymore. They may laugh for a moment, but then they're going to come running to you because of the fact that there's an anointing upon you, and that anointing that came upon you is because you started out being a praise warrior and a prayer warrior and a worshiper, and God has brought an exciting revelation into your heart of what he wants to do in your life. Once you receive that, your realm of authority, wherever you go, will be enhanced. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. Everybody catching this information? Okay? I don't want you to lose. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape, who refused him who spoke on earth. Everybody say, God speaks on earth. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Everyone say, God speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Over in Revelation chapter 12, we see this. The prayer warriors that were praying for somebody, they had received the voice of God that shook the heavens on your behalf. The voice of God came as a mystery, and it shook the heavens, and it was coming to those who were prayer warriors that were praying to you, because God's word came to them and said, I want you to start praying for so-and-so. And therefore, they start opening their mouth, they start praying, so the voice of God was shaking the heavens, and the voice of God was shaking the earth, and Satan can't get around that. When you come into agreement with God. Amen? And I've discovered something about the Lord. I discovered in my life that God loves agreement. God loves agreement. God wants to have somebody on earth with flesh and blood who has vocal cords, who is still alive, to turn and now agree with what he is saying in the heavens, that they will become the voice of God on the earth. Because I want you to hear me. God can speak and speak and speak and speak, say a number of things. But if there's no one on the earth that will come in agreement with him, nothing will happen. Why? Because his word says so. All things are established in the presence of two or three witnesses. God's word is spoke, and he's looking for a witness on earth that will come and agree with him. And once you open up your mouth and you hear, this goes into the gift of prophecy. You have a word of prophecy, one word. As you open up your mouth and you hear that one word, then all of a sudden what Christ had said in the heavens, it will overflow out of you. And when it overflows out of you, it is intended not only to build you up and enhance you, but also to help somebody else. That's when healings will begin to flow. That's when God is going to begin to move. Amen. I want to share a testimony with you. For some of you, I know you've heard this before, but it was so ecstatic, and it kind of lines up with somebody that's here. So that's why I want to share it. 2005, I put out my information because I felt the Lord telling me I would never just go anywhere just to travel. I would always wait. October was the month. It was a month of God would tweak things, and that's when he would let me know where he wanted me to go for the upcoming year. And so there was a pastor in Massachusetts. That's where I was supposed to go. I would be in Maine, Vermont, all through Massachusetts, all through the New England states. But this one particular pastor, Pastor Larry Loring, I sent him some information. Long story short, I'm going to make it quick. I sent him some information. 3 days later, I would always call, because pastors in the larger churches, they would get the information, look it over, they'd get probably 15, 20 a week. They'd throw it in the garbage can. I would always be sneakier. I'd call them. I wanted them to know who I was. You want any questions answered? Ask me. Talk to me. And when I called his church or his house, whatever number it was, his wife answered. Elizabeth was her name. And she was kind, sweet, very delicate woman. She told me all about her husband, that he's no longer pastoring. He's down to 99 pounds. He's ready to die. He's in the hospital. He's dying of cancer. I didn't know what to do, but I've never met them before, so I really felt uneasy. I could sense that she's starting to cry, and they told her that you have to get your husband's affairs in order because he has no more hope. We've tried everything. He's not responding to the chemotherapy or the radiation, whatever they were doing. And so she told me that he's been away from the pulpit for quite some time, and there have been others that have stepped in his absence. And so I was going to just pray a quick prayer. That's all I was going to do. A quick prayer to try to make her feel content. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord rose up within. The same experience that you will find whenever you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. That spiritual unction that comes from within you. Right, Kim? You're baptized? It comes from within. And I knew something was coming. Because I've been traveling now for 15, 18 years by now. And I've sensed when God wanted me to say something. It came and rose up. And all of a sudden, I got as bold as a lion. And I said, "Sister, I want you to hear me. Your husband is not going to die. He's going to live. He's going to live, but it's going to be on you doing what you have to do. You carry the sword that I'm giving you. You go back to the medical practitioners and you let them know you demand to have another test because you need to change your language. You need to hear the language of God of what he wants you to hear, and you need to speak health. Quit speaking death as to what they're giving you." She hangs up the phone on me. Not only she hung it up, you know, ignorantly, she's just crying, so she hangs up the phone. 8 months later, I got a phone call, and she was screaming, and she was telling me the whole story. She went back to the hospital. She demanded that they do another test. They didn't want to do another test. They didn't want to put them through it. She said, "No, I want you to do another test. I'm not taking my husband out of this hospital till you do another test." They took a lymph node out from underneath his arm. They tested it. The pathologist came back. They scratched their heads. They said, "We don't understand. There's no cancer. There's no malignancy in his body." And from that point, he started to get healthier and healthier and healthier. He put all his weight back on. He was back behind the podium. And also, it was noted as to the tremendous miracle that took place with him. He went on their local television, Christian television station, and all of his colleagues, all of his constituents of other churches heard the news. He broadcasted how this all came to pass. So they all gathered together and flew me and gave me a car and everything, and I was there. I was there for 5 days. They didn't have the ability to house me in any one church, so they had an auditorium. And with that, I was there for 5 days preaching, getting to meet the man that I had a word over that I never knew who he was, and get to meet his wife. And I saw the celebration, how it brought an excitement, how it brought faith into these people. It was a wonderful thing. That was then. We have a man in the church now. They gave him 5 months to live. And I know that, and I don't care who you are, when you are told that you only have so much time to live, you are downcast in your heart. You can't say, "Well, that's okay. You know, I'm with..." No, he was downcast. And I grabbed him and I brought him in the back. And I said, "I'm going to tell you something. And this was only of God. I wouldn't have done it if God wouldn't have told me to do it." Right, Ron? And I said to him, "You are not going to die. You are going to live because God is not done with you. God has other plans for you. And God has shown you things in the spirit, what he's going to do here and what he's going to do in your life. And you are not going to die." Well, you know what? They couldn't find anything. The man is healthy as a lark. And guess what he does? Every Tuesday, he teaches at the home. Because God said so. The voice of God shakes the heavens. God is looking for someone that will take the risk, open up your mouth, and become the voice of God on the earth, that you will see the foundation of hell disappear. Amen? Can somebody give the Lord a shout of praise? Hallelujah. God is looking for our faith. He's looking for our faith. He's looking for your life. He's looking for you to go wherever he tells you to go. And when you open up your mouth and you begin to speak and you carry the word of God, you are going to find that the foundation of sickness, disease, frustration, confusion, addiction, it will all go on behalf of the people that you are going and you are sharing that word with. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. Give me 5 more minutes. How many people will give me 5 more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. A few more minutes here. I want to show you this. Let's close with this. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message. In other words, he understood nothing. All he understood was through his human reasoning. That's all he really understood. Now, I want you to put yourself in the place of Daniel, and I want you to see what it means when you truly set your heart to try to understand what God wants to say to you, and you are praising him. When things don't seem like there's any hope, you begin to praise him. Verse 1 again, the message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message. And he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 full weeks, 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. In other words, Daniel stinketh. No underarm deodorant, no cologne, nothing. Verse 4, now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with the gold of Euphrates. Obviously, what I'm about to show you, this is an angel that comes to him. His body was like beryl, his face with the like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a, say it, multitude. What was it that this angel had carried to Daniel? Words, hundreds of words that God had brought through the heavens to get to Daniel. The angel of God brought those words. Those words were in the form of a mystery until Daniel would be the recipient of them. Then they would be made very clear. Why was the angel bringing them? Because the Bible says in the book of Psalm, and I don't remember exactly where, blessed are you, O his angels, for you follow his word to perform it. Amen? So the angel comes and brings him the words. He says, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. When you are on your face before God and God brings a word to you and you become the opportunity to be the voice of God on the earth, God is speaking to you and you alone. He's not speaking to anybody else. And when God gives you that word, no one else is going to understand what it is that you're talking about. Why? Because when God gives you a word, he always talks about the future while you're in the midst of the moment. In other words, God has a way of talking about healing while a person is dying in a sickbed. He has a way of talking about freedom while a nation is in captivity. He has a way of talking about a blissful, wonderful marriage while they already have a divorce decree. God always talks about the future while you are in the midst of a problem you can't understand. And the other thing is, when God speaks to you, he always gives you within the wrap-up of his word every creative weapon, every creative gifting you will ever need to go against the confrontation of evil that's trying to stop you. God has a way of doing that. He will always equip you for a battle you didn't even know is on the horizon yet. But God does. Amen? Verse 7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. But a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me. For my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. In other words, his flesh refused what God had said. His mind was reasoning what God has said, but his spirit said, yes, I want to receive what God has for me. Verse 9, yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved. I want you to see this. The angel brings forth the message from the Lord and greets Daniel, not the way Daniel sees himself, but the way God sees him. God always sees us in a more spectacular way than we could ever see ourselves. In Judges chapter 6, verse 12, there you come to find that an angel of the Lord came to Gideon and says, greetings, O mighty man of valor. Greetings, O mighty man of war. You know what Gideon said? What you talking about? Who you talking to? Do you not realize that I'm the smallest and weakest of my father's house? My father is of the tribe of Manasseh, and Manasseh is the smallest of the tribe of Israel. And you come here and you're telling me that I'm a man of war? I've never even killed a spider. And you're telling me I'm a man of war. And then the angel of the Lord says, I like your attitude. You keep that power, that clout you have. You keep that attitude because I want you to know you carry my utterance. You carry the utterance of Almighty God, and you will have victory. And we know how the story went that he gained victory. Amen. Back to Daniel chapter 10. He said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day, that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself. Church, on behalf of you, while you were out there in the world and somebody began to pray for you, from the day that they started, hell broke loose against them. And from the moment that those prayers went up to strengthen the angels of God on your behalf, that's when the war broke out in the heavenly places. Now that you are a born-again believer, and now God wanted you to hear that you need to be a praiser. You need to praise him with the fruit of your lips. You need to open up your mouth and you need to tell it, shout it from the rooftop, how much you love him. And the moment you begin to do that, there is going to be hell breaking loose against you. Amen? Because that word is coming. It's coming. The reality of what you've been praying for is on its way. He goes on and he says, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Daniel, your words initiated this whole program. You asked in your time of praise, you cried out to God. God, therefore, has reciprocated. He's going to give you an answer. I, the angel of the Lord, is carrying the answer from heaven to earth on a platter to give to you. And this exchange between man and God, Satan hates it. He hates it. He tries continuously to try to stop that ongoing operation of communication between man and God. Why? Because he knows that if that word gets to you, you're going to be a supernatural overcoming power on the earth, and you are going to destroy everything and anything that he stands for. And Satan doesn't want you to become a supernatural being. He hates supernatural people. He likes clever people. He likes logical people. He loves religious people. He loves people that they say the right things. They have all the right cliches. They leave the church. They go out into their car, and they go right back into the realm of the woods of the world. He likes those kind of people. But he doesn't like supernatural people. Why? Because they don't act the way he wants them to act. When he throws cancer on them, instead of them bowing over and saying, oh my God, they begin to shout. They begin to praise. They begin to worship. When he steals their money, they give glory to God. They have a smile on their face. They look like they have it all together. And when they begin to act like that, Satan gets driven crazy because he doesn't know what to do. The whole reason why he threw all this on you is to get you to lay down your sword, lay down your call, lay down your pedigree, and go back to where you were, to the pigsty. But when you begin to dance and you begin to shout and you begin to praise and you don't listen to what man says, you listen to what God says, it drives the enemy away. Can you give the Lord a shout of praise? Come on, church. Hallelujah. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But, verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia. See where it says that? But the prince of the kingdom of Persia. It's not a prince, it's a principality. It's the principality of Persia came to fight me. Why? Because the mystery that came out of the mouth of God that was coming to the heart of Daniel had everything to do with how Daniel was going to become the voice of God on the earth, and it was going to destroy the principality of Persia. the principality of Persia had everything to lose. That's why he came and he fought relentlessly against the angels of God. He tried desperately to kill that word that it would not get to the heart of Daniel. So when you come to find, let me finish reading this. It says, he withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. If I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision of refers to many days yet to come. God has answers to your problems. All you have to do is recognize that you have to start it out with praise. You have to have a heart filled with true praise and worship. Amen? And whatever answer you have need of, it's on its way. You have a need for health? Then I want you to know that the principality of sickness is going to interrupt and try to get that word away from you. You have a problem with poverty? Then the principality, you want prosperity? The principality of poverty is going to do everything and anything in its power to try to invade and stop that word from getting to you. But all you have to do is you have to just wait. And when you finally receive that word, whether it be for you or whether it be for some other human being, don't take it ever so lightly. That word went through hell and high water. That word went through fire and the thunderous storm in the heavenly dimensions to get to you. And here's the other thing. You've been praying, you've been waiting, you've been praising, and you're about to give up? No. You keep on praising. Why? Because from the time that God opened up his mouth, he wanted to get that word to you, but there are principalities in the heavenly places that are fighting against that word. You have to be patient. He that waits upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You need to wait on the Lord, and you need to recognize from the moment you opened up your mouth, whether you're praying for some other human being, whether you're praying for your own life, that answer that you're waiting for is on the way. But you need to wait and be steadfast and wait, because God is going to do something wonderful. Amen? Do I have any champions here this morning? Do you understand that you can't just come to church and you can't just be subliminal and just sit there and not say it? You gotta open up your mouth. You gotta praise and worship the Lord. And we're gonna do that every Sunday. We are gonna open up the doors in the summer. We're gonna let the people know that we've lost our minds in here. And I'm praying that after a period of time, you are going to absolutely become recklessly abandoned. All the old habits and maybe your culture, maybe the upbringing, maybe the way it was in your family. Oh, I can't do that. That's how I was. I would dare not open my mouth in church. People would get a hold of me. Why can't you sing? I'm not singing. But when God gets a hold of your heart and he begins to mature you, then all of a sudden my hand went up to here. And then I kind of interlocked it with this. I didn't want anybody to see me doing this. But then a little bit, little by little by little, and I've seen some of you do the same. And little by little, and then finally, I was overly expressive. Then God knew that I would be a bull in a china closet, that he would have to reel me in a little bit, because I was recklessly abandoning the old nature. And I would say whatever the Lord wanted me to say, go wherever he wanted me to go, and do whatever he wanted me to do. I'm here for the moment because God wanted to have a church, not another church made up of religious people. God wants me to give you and pour out, not only for me. I know that Brian has brought some beautiful sermons, and Brother Ron as well, and others that we bring in here. God is developing you, that he is going to have you abandon the old nature, the old ways. And if you will become a praiser and you will recognize the power of praise, you're going to see some things happening. You're going to see that no judge will have a hold on the result of what's going to happen. You're going to see that no doctor is going to have a hold on what they believe is going to happen. Things are going to turn around. Even for Brian's brother, it looked like it was a desperate situation. Prayer and praying and praising the Lord, as I did. I praised God for his healing. I don't know if any of you did. That turns the event, turns it all around. That's what God wants out of your life. Can you stand with me?